It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson, and we have a conversation every morning, every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, about these important issues that are facing our communities, our state, and our nation. And we look at these issues as freedom versus force, or force versus freedom. And if you hear the words mandate, regulation, requirement, all those kinds of things, compliant, all those things have force behind them. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. We see this great, not great in a great way, but this movement, this narrative that is romancing socialism. And that is why we need to engage in this battle of ideas to understand what is going on in our country today and to be able to engage in this battle of ideas with our friends, our family, and our colleagues. And that is one of the reasons why the 13th of January at Water's Edge Winery, we will be starting our salon series with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice. And Helen, as you know, grew up in China, and she grew up under communism. And communism and socialism are very closely connected. And so she is a real patriot. She understands the American idea, has a great appreciation for that. And so that we'll be starting our salon series. So you can go to my website, Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com, to sign up. It will be a $20 cover charge. And then you just go ahead and you will order and pay for whatever you want to eat or drink. And I know that Jen Hewlin, the owner of Water's Edge Winery, and Chef D over there will have something really, really delectable. So be sure and go to my website, KimMunson.com, and sign up. Welcome to the show. We will be going through some of the headlines, and then we've got some surprises for you throughout the morning. So stay tuned for that. But as we talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom, it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. If something is a good idea, then you don't need to force it to implement it. And so we continue to see the socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, communications, data. And we need to be pushing back on that. So thank you to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for your support and your good work. And thank you to each of you listeners. You are treasured, you're valued, and today strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And Steve, we had quite a morning yesterday morning. It's great to finally get all the cobwebs out, and we're ready to roll this morning.
Just now when you use the word surprises, we have surprises for you. All I could think about is like we had a surprise yesterday that I don't even want to talk about. It just messed up everything.
Yes. But, you know, there are days like that. Mama said there would be days like that, and there are. And we got through that. What had happened, if you weren't listening yesterday, is we had, 5 minutes of dead air time because the computer didn't have the command that you needed it to have, I guess, Steve, right?
There's an embedded command that happens every morning, but because of the holidays, I think somebody was just moving a little too quickly and it got overwritten. Okay. And it did not execute, and therefore, you know, the automation was. And there was a great listener out in Kansas who called several times to let us know that we were off the air. I thank him for his integrity.
And his diligence. I know that you wanted to answer the phone and you wanted to get us back on the air, so it was two things. But thank you. And as I say, Mama said there'd be days like that, and there are. So.
Well, Mama needs to stay out of the radio station.
That's true. So, hey, our inspiration wisdom for today is, have you heard of a guy, his name's Jocko Willink, by any chance? He was born in 1971. He's an American retired United States Navy SEAL. He's a podcaster and author. He received the Silver Star and Bronze Star for his service in the Iraq War and was commander of SEAL Team 3's task unit bruiser during the Battle of Ramadi. And I know a lot of young folks really, you know, are really inspired by him. So today I thought we'd go to him for our inspiration and our wisdom. And he's a guy, he's all about discipline. And he says, discipline equals freedom. Have you thought about that, Steve? Discipline equals freedom. Because freedom doesn't mean, as our friend Ben Martin says, liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. And freedom doesn't mean that willy-nilly you can do anything that you want. Discipline has to be within that to be truly free. So I thought that was just three words. Discipline equals freedom. What's your thoughts?
The last time Ben was with us, I vividly remember sitting here while you guys were having a discussion. And that point that Ben was making, I was sitting there thinking about it. Well, that is exactly where this culture seems to choke sometimes, because freedom to too many people means I can do whatever I want, whenever I want to. And there's no, you know, there is no discipline.
And, you know, when we had Dr. Laura on, I think that was another thing that she, you know, she's, I think, indicated that discipline is very important to have a successful, you know, successful life in your relationships, in your finances, and all those things. So discipline equals freedom. And that is Jocko Willink. And again, just a really impressive guy. So we'll continue to come back to him.
Did you say he was born in 71?
Yeah.
Wow.
Say no more. Say no more. So, okay, our funnies. These are true stories. Are you ready for this? First one. Police in Wichita, Kansas, arrested a 22-year-old man at an airport hotel after he tried to pass two counterfeit $16 bills.
16. Okay.
A man in Johannesburg, South Africa, shot his 49-year-old friend in the face, seriously wounding him while the two practiced shooting beer cans off each other's head. Okay. And last one, a company trying to continue its 5-year perfect safety record showed its workers a film aimed at encouraging the use of safety goggles on the job. According to Industrial Machinery News, the film's depiction of gory industrial accidents was so graphic that 25 workers suffered minor injuries in their rush to leave the screening room. 13 others fainted, and one man required 7 stitches after he cut his head falling off a chair while watching the film. Can't make this stuff up. So, okay, and the other thing we had talked about, the punches to knock down democratic socialism, our salon series with Helen Raleigh, Dr. Paul Prentice. That's Monday, January 13th, 5 to 8 p.m. at Water's Edge Winery. But next Wednesday, it is our Stand for Colorado rally. January 8th, that is the first day of the legislative session, 11 o'clock. It'll be on the west steps of the Capitol. And be sure and join us. It's going to be a beautiful day. Right now, they're saying 53 degrees. So there is no excuse for you not to show up. Now, that does mean that you may need to plan ahead regarding getting down there, parking, or however you decide to get down there. But maybe take a long lunch. But be sure and show up. We can't just sit around and complain. We need to be showing up and engaging in what is going on. And so first day of the legislative session, we want to let those PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties down at the state capitol know that we are watching and we care about what is going on. So be sure and join us. And you can go to my website. There's all kinds of great information that will move you over to. We actually have our own website for standforcolorado.com. Again, that's standforcolorado.com. So, Steve, let's move over to some of these headlines here. And one of the things that, you know, as we were talking about what's happening here in Colorado, yesterday, Governor Polis had written a letter. It was in the Colorado Sun, and I guess it was an op-ed, about how, you know, he was saving people money and taxes. He was wanted to save, bring taxes down. And you said the first line you thought was good, and then everything else was basically, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, Steve, right?
Well, I would encourage anybody, again, with all the technical fun and games yesterday, we didn't really tear into this like I would have liked. If you have access to the Colorado Sun's website, go there and see if you can find this. He starts out with, as we end 2019 and look forward to 2020, I am excited to work hard to help Colorado tackle tough challenges in the next decade. Okay, no problem with that. But then it starts to go downhill. The common thread throughout my first year in office has been working hard to save Coloradans money on education, health care, utility bills, housing, and more. I started to choke right away because everything we've been covering in the last 11 months and a couple weeks, it runs counter to that. I vividly remember a movie, 1997, The Rainmaker, with Matt Damon. He was an aspiring lawyer right out of law school, and they did a lot of voiceover while he was acting, and he was already talking about the lawyer jokes that he was aware of. How do you know when a lawyer is lying? Well, his lips are moving. I'm not saying, Mr. Governor, you're lying, but I am saying that your words don't line up with your actions.
Your words do not line up with your actions. But I think that from a political standpoint, what we can learn from this, Steve, is that, and I think that Polis saw this regarding Prop CC, which he was an advocate for, and Prop CC was on the ballot this last November, and that was that the PBIs were asking to take our Tabor tax refunds away forever. And the people of Colorado said no. They said, if in fact you want to keep our Tabor tax refunds within Tabor, which is our Taxpayers Bill of Rights, you just have to ask us. And they wanted to say, we don't want to ever have to ask you that again. And he was a proponent of that. But I think that he's very astute from a political standpoint, because the op-ed talks about lowering taxes, which implies keeping more money in your pocket. And that is something that resonates with Colorado voters. It is a bit ironic that typically Colorado voters will vote down tax increases. They vote down PBIs being able to take more and more of our money. But yet then what we do is we elect people that go down to the state house that use their power to use rules, regulations, fees, all kinds of things that actually take more freedom, more money from us. And so one other thing I wanted to mention just very quickly, he had mentioned yesterday in his op-ed, Governor Polis had mentioned in his op-ed how he's bringing down energy costs. Patty has on our headlines today that Xcel Energy wins a $41.5 million rate increase. This is from the Times Call. It says our state regulators approved a $41.5 million annual electric rate increase for Xcel Energy, and they were asking for $158 million. But didn't they tell us with all of this green energy and all this that our rates were really going to go down? But once again, over here, and it's almost death by a thousand cuts to everyday hardworking people. There's a little money here that's taken out of your pocket, a little money here. And so we need to make sure that we are keeping an eye on this, and that's what we're doing. Let's go to break, though. When we come back, I'm thrilled to be talking with the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management, William Perry Penley. And something really historic is happening. They are actually moving one of the agencies out of Washington, D.C., near the people. And it's just, I think it's brilliant. It's exciting. It's happening right now. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with William Perry Penley. This is Kim Munson. Stay tuned.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. kim@kimmunson.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com. And also check out our Stand for Colorado website. We are having this big rally on January 8th, the first day of the legislative session, West Steps of the Capitol. Be there or be square. We'd love to have you there. And on the line with me is William Perry Penley, Acting Director of the Bureau of Land Management. Perry, welcome to the show.
Well, hey, Kim, great to be with you. I'm here with you in Colorado to watch the sunrise over in beautiful Grand Junction. So it's great to be in Colorado.
Well, something historic has happened, and that is you have moved the Bureau of Land Management out of Washington, D.C., out to the west where most all of the federal lands are. And it has it's been so interesting to watch that it's been controversial. I'm a little shocked about that, Perry.
It is surprising somewhat from one perspective. Frankly, it all began with President Trump. President Trump came in. He issued an executive order. He said, let's make our agencies, our departments lean and mean and clean and effective. Secretary Zinke came in, proposed the move of the BLM out west. No surprise, 99.99% of the BLM's 245 million acres of land is in the 11 western states and Alaska. 97% of our employees are here in the West, but the top 3%, 50 and 60% of our very senior, seasoned executives who are making all the decisions are in Washington, D.C. And we said, hey, let's get those folks out to the West. You know, one of the complaints the Secretary Bernhardt has heard consistently from governors and elected officials, representatives, senators, state and local government, neighbors, stockholders, shareholders, and tribal leaders is, hey, you're understaffed. You don't have enough people in your offices to get the work done. And so what we say is help us on the way. And then Secretary Bernhardt ordered that in early July when I came here. And so it's really quite fantastic, we're delegating more responsibility to the field. We're putting our senior seasoned people on the lands where their decisions have impact, and we're better serving the American people. I mean, how could you object? But obviously, people do.
Well, they do. I actually had found this article. This was just recently, I think, in Men's Journal. I don't know if you've seen it. But it's a special op-ed by Rose Marcario. She's the president and CEO of Patagonia. And Lan Tawney, he's the president and CEO of the nonprofit conservation group Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And they seem to be just very frustrated that you are moving the Bureau of Land Management out to the West. I'm a little shocked at that.
Well, when you consider their perspective, and their perspective is they want these top decision makers in Washington with easy access to Capitol Hill. We want them in the West to help lead the Bureau of Land Management in the decisions it makes to understand Westerners up close and personal, to see them in Safeways, to see them at church, to see them at the baseball field, and to have an appreciation for what's going on and make better decisions earlier in the process. We don't want county commissioners to scrape together money to fly to Washington to plead to the secretary to stop the BLM from doing something foolish. We want that decision to have been made here locally so the county commissioners can go down the street or go across the state or come to Grand Junction and meet with us and express their concerns. And so, this is I want to make clear, however, that we can still do our Washington, D.C. function. We've got public affairs people there. We've got legislative affairs, regulatory affairs. We got Freedom of Information Act experts, and we have our budget people, a total of 61 people, including my current position as Deputy Director of Policy and Programs, will be in the main interior building with easy access to the secretary, not all the way across the town within the shadow of the Washington Nationals baseball stadium.
You know, Perry, I was just thinking about this. I remember a story about Sam Walton, you know, who was the founder of Walmart, and that one of the things that he would do is he would, drive around, he'd take a look at his stores, he'd take a look at the parking lot, how many cars were in the parking lot. And so instead of being in an ivory tower, he was out there, you know, making sure that he was with employees, looking at what customers wanted. And so that seems, in a way, what you're doing here with the Bureau of Land Management is you're getting it out there so that you can really hear the concerns of people instead of an ivory tower back in Washington, D.C.
Oh, absolutely right. Professor Glenn Reynolds from the University of Tennessee, who runs the blog Instapundit, opined recently that The executive offices ought to be in the factory, and you ought to have to walk past the assembly line to get into your office. And that's essentially what we're doing. We're bringing people out of Washington with its terrible traffic, with its high cost of living, and with incredible commuting time. I have people on my hallway spend an hour and 15 minutes every morning getting to work and likewise going home, and bringing those people out here to the edge of the Great Basin, right here essentially where we're making these decisions. So they have like a 10-minute commute, they have a lower cost of living, and they have access to the wonderful recreational opportunities we have out here in the West on BLM and also Forest Service and Park Service and Fish and Wildlife Service lands.
And did you have quite a few people that have moved out, or how has that gone?
Well, we've been very gratified, and the Secretary's instruction to me was, look, we got to make this move. It's the right thing for the American people. It's the right thing for the Bureau of Land Management. But let's be sensitive to our employees. A lot of employees who work for the Bureau of Land Management in Washington hired on, you know, even decades ago with the thought that they would never have to move. They have a job in the Washington, D.C. Beltway, and so we're sensitive to that. And what we've committed to doing is attempting to find a position for every Bureau of Land Management employee in the Washington area who's been asked to move out west. If they don't want to move out west, can't move out west, they have family obligations, whatever, we'll say, we'll find you a job. We'll get you a job in BLM here or the department or maybe some other federal agency. We're having a job fair next week in Washington, D.C., where our employee who cannot move can come in at the job fair and get a job on the spot. They bring in their resume. We craft their resume with them, and they can meet with somebody else, and somebody can say, hey, you're perfect for this opening I have, and hire them on the spot. So we've gone out of our way in that regard. At the same time, however, we believe as many as two-thirds of our people have said, yes, I want to make the move. And so what we've said is, look, we want to be sensitive to your needs. Look, you got prom coming up. You got graduation coming up for your kids. You got to sell your house. Let's be flexible, and we're gonna bring our people out as conditions permit for them, and also as the needs of the Bureau of Land Management. At the same time, and I've said this before, and this is something people don't really realize, many of our positions in Washington are unfilled. They're vacant, simply because we cannot find the kinds of experts we want who say, yeah, I'd like to move to Washington, D.C. That'd be awesome. No, they want to stay in the West. They want to be in Billings or Boise or Reno or Santa Fe or Phoenix. And so what we're doing right now is we're staffing up. We have three assistant directors already been hired, going through the OPM process and to get hired. They'll be here soon. And then they'll be staffing up their vacant positions, both here in Grand Junction and also throughout the West in the various state offices.
What about air travel from Grand Junction? Is there a direct flight to Washington, D.C.?
I don't think there's a direct flight, but that's not a problem for our folks going in and out. And frankly, most of our traffic's going to be Intermountain.
Okay, good point.
Where we're going to be moving around here, our folks are going to be going over to Salt Lake, or they're going to be down to Santa Fe, or wherever they happen to be going. Many of our trips maybe we can do by driving rather than hopping on a flight. But I don't see a huge need to go back and forth to Washington. Obviously, when Congress calls, Congress wants me to come back, or our Deputy Director for Operations, Mike Ned, a career guy, and they want him to come testify. Hey, we'll be there. Just say the word and we'll cooperate. And this, Kim, I want to mention one thing. We've taken a lot of heat saying, oh, you haven't told us what's going on. Congress and some of these environmental groups, these NGOs are saying, oh, you haven't been forthcoming. Oh, my goodness gracious. We have been so totally forthcoming. We've set up stacks and boxes of material. I testified for nearly 2 hours on the 10th of September. We've answered every letter that's come in, and the Secretary has a standing invitation to congressional leaders. Hey, you want a briefing? I will give you a briefing. I, the Secretary of Interior, will personally give you a briefing. Say the word. And in this recent appropriation, and we're so thankful that Congress has financed our move and allowed us to complete this move with this recent appropriations, but One of the things in the legislation language was we want briefings. And so the secretary sent out a letter yesterday saying, let's do the first one at the department. I'm ready. Let's set up a schedule, and we'll schedule the next 12 right now so that everybody knows when I'll be coming up or when you'll be coming down here to have a briefing. So this has been, and we have an expression in the law we call open and notorious. And this has been open and notorious. You can't mistake what we're doing, and we've provided all the information we possibly can as to why we're doing it and why it makes great sense. And I will say, we've had bipartisan support for the move. When I testified on the 10th of September, the congressional delegation from Colorado was unanimous in its support, including the governor.
Well, that's fantastic. It's great to have the headquarters here out here in Grand Junction. And I think it's great for Grand Junction also. I've got to think that, you know, Grand Junction is really excited to have you there.
Well, that's what they tell me. I was in a couple of places after I got in here. I came in by train, and it's really great to see Colorado that way, travel across by train. And I'll just say that every shop and place I went into in my suit and tie, looking like I just dropped off a flight from Washington, people are saying, what brings you to town? And I tell them, and they're thrilled. They're absolutely thrilled. We've had just wonderful support from the local community. And one of the things that's fascinated me is the way the local communities reached out to the Bureau of Land Management and said, can we work with your employees? Can we work with the employees to facilitate their transition to here, to help them see what's available in Grand Junction? And I know that's going to be replicated throughout the West, where Billings, Boise, Cheyenne, Denver, wherever our folks end up going.
Okay. And Perry, just one other quick question. Was the official move, was it yesterday, or when? What's the official day?
Well, we're not officially. I mean, we're open for business, but we're in a transition right now.
Okay.
The bottom line is that I, when it became, we got the building on the in September. I think it was around the 15th of September. The GSA found it for us. That's the way things work in government. GSA is your landlord. It gets the buildings, and it got this place for us. We had some work to do on the building. We still have work to do on the building. But I committed. I said, after the first of the year, Congress approves this, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to help open the door on the 2nd of January. And so we're bringing our people in. They're bringing in, coming in slowly. But this is our headquarters. This is the Robert F. Burford headquarters, and we're delighted to honor my friend, the late Bob Burford, who was the longest-serving director of the Bureau of Land Management, and who was born and raised here in Grand Junction.
Well, fantastic. Perry Pinley, thank you so much. Welcome to Colorado. You're from Colorado. Well, you grew up in Wyoming, but you've been in Colorado for a while, and congratulations. This is very exciting. So thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It is exciting, and I just want once again, Kim, compliment the president, compliment Secretary Bernhardt for the intention to make this happen, to get it done, and it's going to be great for the American people, going to be great for the BLM, and it's going to be great for the West.
Well, William Perry Pinley, welcome back to Colorado. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. And we're going to go to Jason McBride. Jason, I find this pretty darn exciting that the Bureau of Land Management has moved out to Grand Junction. What do you think?
Well, I think there's more interesting land here than there is back in Washington, D.C., so the BLM people should be closer to the land that they love. I think it's great. Plus, more jobs for Colorado.
You know, and I really think that this is something that that would be good, I think, for our small towns, is that actually start to move some of these agencies I just really like to get rid of, but to move them out of Washington, D.C., near the people they serve. I think that's a great idea, Jason.
Well, you know, that's one way to drain the swamp, isn't it?
That's for sure.
Just move the gators somewhere else.
That's true. Hey, what's going on with the market? We're now into 2020, and so what are you thinking right now?
Well, you try to find some clues, Kim, and we'll be talking about many of these over the next few days, but there's one adage out there that says if the first day of the trading year is up, then the markets have a better chance of being up for the year. Now, I went back and studied this all the way to 1963, so about 56 years worth of data so far. And I got to tell you, Kim, somebody must have really been reaching when they tried to make this one up, because I can't find very much evidence whatsoever that the very first just one day has much bearing on the market. Over the last 56 years, the first day has been up about half the time, and it's been down about half the time. And we've had the same number of, up years and down years, you know, in both occurrences. So I don't think this one's too helpful. Now, Kim, if you really, really want to reach, what I did find is that if the first trading day of the year is up over 1%,
okay,
then we've only had one instance of the market being down significantly for the year. But there's always a catch, isn't there? Yesterday, the S&P, I think, was up like 0.84%, but the Dow and the NASDAQ were up over 1%. So which one would you go by?
Well, being the optimist, I'm going to go with the Dow. How's that?
Well, it sounds good. Well, if that's what you believe, then you've got a very slim chance of getting your rear end kicked for the rest of the year, at least according to this flimsy indicator. I think somebody just wanted to make a name for themselves with this one.
Well, that's probably true. So Jason, it's I'm excited. 2020, you know, here
yeah.
we are. We're fasten our seatbelts and we're off to the races. And I think that it's important that people sit down with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management and prepare for 2020. And so would recommend, we've got a landing page together, airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. And it's time to be looking forward into 2020. The holidays are behind us, and I would highly recommend that folks sit down with you.
Well, I think so. And, Kim, even more than preparing just for 2020, it's preparing for the long term, preparing for your retirement, if that's what you're heading for. I mean, you know, if you're younger, you're not thinking about that yet, but you want to prepare for a successful career in investing. So as we always like to say, you know, one year doesn't always make it or break it. Prepare for the long term and have a plan and know why you're doing what you're doing.
And going back to our quote for today of Jocko Willink, he said, discipline equals freedom. So discipline in your financial planning means a financial freedom, I think, down the road.
I'm going to go tell my kids that. Discipline equals freedom.
There you go. Jason, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Wonderful. Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, on our Stand for Colorado rally, we have these 16 amazing women, calling them Women of the West. And on the line with us is Cindy Peck. And the issue that she's going to be talking about is the siting of wireless facilities. And this may be something that has not been on your radar, if you will, but it's important to understand that. So she's going to be one of our fabulous Women of the West speakers. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, you'll want to hear what Cindy Peck has to say.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And check out our Stand for Colorado website. That is standforcolorado.com. And we have the bios and pictures of all of our fabulous Women of the West speakers. On the line with me right now is Cindy Peck. and she's concerned about the siting of wireless facilities. And Cindy has focused her career on the prevention of health and behavioral problems among our school-age youth and their families. She has directed research offices in both university and educational laboratories. She's managed studies on family and environmental factors impacting child well-being. And she's very concerned that the 2017 Colorado legislature stripped local government's control on the siting of wireless facilities. Cindy Peck, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Kim.
And I'm not sure a lot of people are thinking about this. So why are you so concerned, Cindy?
Well, wireless facilities such as our cell phones, cell towers, the antennas that this bill allowed to be put in front of our home emit wireless radiation. Now, there are hundreds to even thousands of studies on the health effects of these wireless emitting devices. And the closer the proximity that it is to our home and to our living, the more the health effects increase.
Now, do we need to have these wireless towers close to our schools and our homes so that we, you know, I mean, we like the convenience of our cell phones. I mean, is there different options, or what's your thoughts on that?
Well, we have lots of options when it comes to wireless facilities. One is not to have them on 24/7. We can put them in airplane mode when they're not in use. Hardwiring our houses is a very good option. In fact, fiber to our houses is the fastest and safest option. It's much faster than wireless by a multitude of 10 to 100 times. So we really encourage the use of hardwired facilities. We all want to be mobile and to use our devices, but to replace wireless with what could be much faster fiber in our homes is not an option that we're wanting our legislature to encourage. In fact, we want our legislature to encourage the use of fiber to our homes, like many cities have done, such as Longmont, Colorado.
Okay, and you know, that is, bringing that up, though, I've really struggled with a government getting into you know, fiber optics, like you mentioned, Longmont, because we've got private enterprise that can do that. So I've been a little bit, I kind of prefer to have government out of this whole thing. What do you think?
Well, the reason that that we're concerned about HB 171193, which was a bill passed by our state legislature, is that it gave free rent to private enterprise of our publicly paid for right-of-ways. And as a result of it, it also took away our rights to site these wireless facilities. When we site wireless facilities, what we hope to do is put them in places that we've traditionally been putting them, in commercial zoning areas. You'll see them sort of along the freeway. You'll see them in places where we don't restore and our lives, such as sleeping in our homes.
Okay.
Wireless facilities can disrupt a lot of the healing mechanisms, the health mechanisms of our home. It's associated with, I'd like to encourage your listeners to look at saferemr.com, S-A-F-E-R-E-M-R.com, and there you'll find thousands and thousands of studies worldwide that are published by the University of California on the health effects of this wireless radiation. And distance is our friend, so we don't want them out in front of our light posts. In our house. Now, in Larimer County, when we developed our wireless regulations, our leaders were really strapped to be able to say, no, we don't want a cell tower right in front of that home or a cellular antenna within 15 feet of a bedroom window, because they are prohibited by HB 171193 on the siting of these wireless facilities. They are required to permit them by right to our public right-of-ways in any zone and override our land use codes. And our land use codes come from public values, from community values, what we want to see and what we want in our neighborhoods. And this bill strips local control. So really overriding, I guess, your concern, Kim, about whether private enterprise gets involved. This is an over-involvement of private enterprise coming in, sponsoring a bill that was to their benefit, that gave them free rent in our public right-of-ways to deploy networks for private shareholder profits that we're paying for. And then it took away local control of where these should be. And they really should not be in front of our homes, in front of our schools, and in front of our daycare centers.
You know, okay, Cindy, so I think to your point, what we see here is many times big business and big government like each other.
Yes.
Because they can then work together to create rules, regulations, or different things that are advantageous to the big business and big government, which makes it very difficult for, you know, smaller businesses or in this case for communities to figure out what they want to do exactly. And I mean, I love the convenience of my wireless phone as well, but I think that it's important. Again, we talk about freedom, or liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. And so I think that as what I hear from you, Cindy, and we're going to be talking about freedom versus force, is that I think what I'm hearing is that the legislature forcibly took away local control on where to put these facilities. Am I getting that correct?
Yes, they did. And in doing so, if you have a cell tower put out in front of your home, and that's been experienced by people who have had very large towers put directly in residential areas, they have an immediate drop of their property values. And one of the ways that we protect our property values is through our local land use codes, which is our zoning. So we really need to allow local communities to retain their local land use rights.
Okay. Well, great. Well, Cindy, I am so excited that you will be one of our speakers at our Stand for Colorado rally, which will be next Wednesday. It looks like the weather's going to be good, Cindy. So we're encouraging people, come out and join us, because we need to show up and let these PBIs down at the Golden Dome know that we are watching, that we care what's going on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to seeing you next Wednesday.
Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. And our next fabulous woman of the West is Britta Horn. And she will be talking about economic freedom and transparency. And Britta she's quite a woman. She is the treasurer of the Colorado State Fire Chiefs. She's passionate about protecting the economic freedom of everyday hardworking Coloradans. And she is a fervent supporter of TABOR, Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights. Britta Horn, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited that you will be one of our fabulous Women of the West speakers next Wednesday down at the Capitol.
I truly appreciate it. I appreciate being a part of this wonderful group of people.
And one of the things that you talked about last year, and it was very important, I think it was under the radar, but the 2019 Colorado legislature raided a fund that had our money in it. Would you explain that to our listeners?
Yes. What happens, we had two different bills, one in the Senate and one in the House, and they went ahead and was raiding what we call the unclaimed property fund. It's a trust fund, and people might know it better as the Great Colorado Payback. And what it is, it's other people's money, Kim. What was happening was that there's money sitting there that's supposed to be by the state treasurer, given back to all the people of the state that are due this money. And instead, the legislation, both in the Senate and the House, proposed these two bills, $30 million to be taken out from the Senate. The Senate said to be put right into the general fund. It could be used for any projects. And then over on the House bill side, they did a housing development grant fund. So another $30 million would go into the housing fund to make sure that there was money for people for low-income issues and things that were developing and for local housing conditions. And what ended up happening is that now $60 million is not now in this fund. It's mandated by state law to make sure that it gets back to the people. And it took away our economic freedom because we weren't on the hook for it. And now we are. There's zero transparency was told to the taxpayers that when that money can't be given back to the people that it's due to, we're going to be on the hook for it, the taxpayers.
Okay, so and isn't it like it's like unclaimed funds? So let's say that, I don't know, maybe like a bank account or something where nobody had claimed that.
Sure, bank account, an estate. A lot of banks, what they were doing was when they were shutting down, they still owed interest to people across the state of Colorado. And so this would, you know, they would just give it back to the state treasurer and say, because you have this Great Colorado Payback, you give back the money to everybody. It's monies like that.
Okay, so it would sit there until maybe the heirs or somebody decided, oh, I'm going to see if I have anything that's due to me. And Britta, I don't know if it was you who told me this, but somebody said that they, you know, after this had all happened, that they said, you know what, I think that I might have some money someplace that was due to me. And they went to try to find it. And as you said, it was gone. It would have been taken. And but I think what you're also saying is then the people of Colorado would be on the hook for that.
Right. That's the part about the transparency of this, money shuffling going around. As you know, I was for two terms a county treasurer, and just following this money and following the government and how the money moves around. And as treasurers, county treasurers, we're supposed to give them, if we know there's unclaimed funds, we're supposed to give it back to the state, and the state will, give it out to the people it's supposed to be due to. And I had never heard that the money wasn't there. That's news information to me. I know of some really good success stories where people have heard the story. They go to the Great Colorado Payback website, and they see that it's owed to them, and they fill out the form, and they do get their money back.
Okay. Then maybe what I heard was incorrect. So we like to make sure that we say things that are correct on the air. So I apologize on that. And I should always be a little more careful instead of doing hearsay and making sure I know what I'm talking about. So I apologize to all of you out there. So Tabor, let's talk just a little bit about Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. There was the big fight on Prop CC, this last time around. And you and I both had taken a look at this group called Building a Better Colorado, which we love that. Although I'm thinking we should build better Coloradans. That means they have more economic freedom. But anyway, Building a Better Colorado was advocating, or many of the people working with them was advocating and supporting Prop CC, which was, the question on whether or not the state could take away our tax refunds forever. And you and I, as we really looked at that, we realized that Tabor, that's a really good thing for everyday hardworking Coloradans, and you're a fervent supporter of Tabor.
Oh, absolutely. I think that there's definitely, we went through all that with Prop CC and watching these groups that said that they would, stay, like you said, we were saying they would stay neutral and they wouldn't take a position and then turn around at the end saying, oh, no, we're taking a position, we're for CC, and really kind of duped all of us that were participating in their program to come up with some really good, solid, equitable ways that we can all say that, how we're going to handle this money. Because really, all Tabor is asking, the only question it asks is the number one question, is to say, go to the taxpayers and say yes or no. Do we want this tax increase or not? And it's so interesting, like you said, at every turn, Coloradoans are trying to figure out how to, combat it. It's like we're always fighting it because everyone's just wanting to take all our money.
Yes, and so you and I are both fervent supporters of Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights. I think that it's going to be in the crosshairs again in 2020, so let's fasten our seatbelts. And you're going to be speaking about this at our fabulous Women of the West speakers at our Stanford, Colorado rally, and that's next Wednesday. Britta, I'm just thrilled to have you do that.
Great. I really appreciate it, Kim. I'm looking forward to be with the other ladies.
You bet. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we will finish up the show.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Just wanted to give a shout out to Hooters Restaurants. It is a great place to watch the games. This is going to be wild card weekend in the NFL. On Saturday, the Buffalo plays the Texas Texans, and Tennessee plays the New England Patriots. On Sunday, the Vikings play the New Orleans Saints, and Philadelphia takes on the Seahawks. I am a little shocked, Steve, that the Patriots are in the wild card weekend. Normally they're, at the top of their division. So I'm a little surprised. I haven't been watching a whole bunch of football lately.
The Patriots draw so much lightning these days. They're the team that everybody loves to hate. So And I guess they were caught recently again with their fingers in the cookie jar regarding the dubious video, you know, collecting video on their opposition prior to their games. You know, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Let's move on here from the Patriots.
Yes, but Hooters Restaurants is a great place to watch the games, or if you're having people over, you can have Hooters delivered to your front door. You can stop by and pick it up. Their wings are great. Love their buffalo shrimp. And go to my website. You can check out Hooters Restaurants there. And as many of you know, I purchase my airtime for my radio shows, which is great because I have full editorial control on this. But that also means that it's my sponsors that allow us to be on the air. And Hooters is a very valued sponsor. My other valued sponsors are Kieran Levine with RE/MAX Alliance, Jason McBride, we talked to him this morning, and John Buckingham, Presidential Wealth Management, Hooters Restaurants, Susan Kochevar, Historic 88 Drive-In Theater, the Harris Family, Liberty Oilfield Services, Jay Davidson with First American State Bank, Lauren Levy with Polygon Fi, all answering all your mortgage questions, Water's Edge Winery, Liberty Toastmasters, and Chris Cantwell. And if you would be interested in partnering with me, let's sit down and talk. I would love to do that. The other thing is go to standforcolorado.com because this is very organic. We do have expenses for the rally, and we could certainly use your help with the financial component of that. And we'd really love to have you join us as well. And as we are finishing up the show, one of the things that we'll be talking about will be energy freedom. And the idea that you can turn on your lights, that you can get in your car and go where you want to go. And all this should be, you know, affordable, reliable, and efficient energy is something that allows everyday people to open their businesses, to take care of their families. And we continue to see this assault on our energy freedom, if you will. And we just had highlighted one of the articles that Patty had on the headlines here was Xcel Energy. They're going to have a $41.5 million rate increase. Well, who's going to pay for that? It's everyday hardworking people. It makes energy more expensive for our businesses. That has to be passed on to the consumer. It makes it more expensive to heat our homes, to turn our lights on. But yet, I want to say, didn't all of these people that are advocating for wind and solar say that it's going to, you know, be save us money? Didn't Polis in his op-ed in the Colorado Sun yesterday say that they're saving us money? So they say one thing, but the reality is something that's totally different, Steve.
That particular story, this particular story is one of those good news, bad news. Now, the $41.5 million increase went through, but I guess we have to say, well, they were originally asking for $158 million, you know, in their original request. Now, she did note at the bottom that Colorado's largest utility has said it's seeking the rate increase to help pay for upgrades, including protecting the grid from wildfires. So
they're also closing early some coal-fired clean coal plants that we have. And so they say one thing. Once again, what they say, things that people would want to hear. Yes, it makes sense to protect our grid against wildfires. But they're over there also. They're going to be closing down a couple of our very efficient coal-fired plants and pushing us to the more expensive energy sources. But yet they say something that would be important to us.
This is how they shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly. All right, someday we will shut down those plants. But who's going to carry that load? If you shut them down prematurely, who's going to carry that load? Are you going to draw more from the grid? And that's expensive as well. That's increased cost. So I just don't get it. Who is really in charge?
Well, we know who's in charge, and that's why we're doing the Stand for Colorado rally.
Okay.
Is because the PBIs down at the State House, they don't really have an understanding, I don't think, of what it is for everyday hardworking people that are trying to make ends meet, to take care of their families, to start their businesses. And it's almost death by a thousand cuts. Okay, so you make it a little more expensive here for energy. Then you make it more expensive to drive your internal combustion engine car. You make housing more expensive because of rules and regulations. You get into education and you have the state mandate what your kids are going to learn instead of what you as parents want them to learn. I mean, you see force that makes life more expensive. And we're just seeing so much of that here in Colorado. We're freedom people here. And we need to be pushing back on this, Steve.
Our disclaimer every time we touch on this subject is that we are not anti newer technologies when they are mature and ready to do the job. Too often, though, they are not mature, they're not ready to do the job, and they almost always come with a higher price tag.
When government gets involved, the price goes up, the quality goes down, and the supply becomes limited. And when you have the free market involved, you have creativity and innovation, and we can address these problems. But what happens are the issues that we have. But when government gets involved, it's all about power, control, you know, all those words, mandate, requirement, rules, regulations, all those things. So be sure and join us, though, next Wednesday. Our quote for today is Jocko Willink. This is from his book, Extreme Ownership, How U.S. Navy SEALs Lead and Win. He says, when setting expectations, no matter what has been said or written, if substandard performance is accepted and no one is held accountable, if there are no consequences, that poor performance becomes the new standard. Wow. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.